The governor granted the University of Hawaii system an exemption from the two-week shutdown that officially started today because the academic year began this past Monday. The COVID-19 crisis is expected to impact the bottom line for the university. HBR's Noe Tanigawa joins us this morning to talk about the call for a short-term emergency plan to deal with this crisis. Good morning, Noe.
Hey, good morning, Catherine. You and I both know that there's been a bit of an uproar there on the UH Manoa campus for maybe the last couple of months. What happened was, what happened was at the July Board of Regents meeting, Chair there, Ben Kudo, proposed a resolution calling on the UH president to draft a plan for how the UH system would cope with a dramatic loss of funds, which, of course, we expect because of the pandemic. Mr. Kudo said, the board is using UH projections of a 91.7 million dollar drop in revenue. That's for fiscal year 2021, with effects possibly starting in November. Now, the call for a plan, of those dimensions, sent shockwaves through the university community. But Chair Kudo contends the wake-up call is warranted.
There were several reasons for the resolution to be acted upon by the Board of Regents. First was to convey to the university community and our stakeholders a sense of urgency with regard to what we were facing, that is the pandemic and its economic and operational impact upon the university. Also, the gravity and significance of that impact. The powers or the management measures that are mentioned as possibilities are all within the management toolbox of the administration already. We did not grant them any additional authority to deal with the emergency. We did not at all relinquish our oversight and decision-making on whatever decisions and recommendations come back to us. We know that because of the types of measures that we potentially might be taking, the vision of what our university will be 10 years from now is going to be different than what it is today. You know, there'll be some similarities, but they won't be the same. It can't be because of the magnitude of the cuts that we're looking at.
University of Hawaii Board of Regents Chair Ben Kudo there. Catherine.
Noe, I remember there was the petition that was circulating, and there were hundreds of signatures on that.
Over 800. Right, faculty and students as well. What happened was this request for a plan from President Lesner came on the heels of some other reorganizations that actually went into effect earlier in the summer. It so happens that this brand new College of Arts, Languages, and Letters, it's the CALL, combines 17 departments and about 300 permanent faculty. And this is disciplines ranging from the arts, languages, and literature all the way to Pacific and Asian Studies. Don't be looking for the School of Pacific and Asian Studies anymore. It doesn't exist. CALL is now the largest college at UH, 2,300 majors in that. And that reorganization was discussed over several years, and faculty members who do not necessarily oppose the change still feel that their points along the way were not heard. Shankar is chair of the English department. He put it this way.
The part which I think the public of Hawaii and listeners of HBR should really be aware of is the degradation of a kind of a liberal arts, humanities, values, education, which is going to happen in a very serious, but maybe not immediately visible way through these reorganizations. Part of what I'm really resisting here is this us or them kind of narrative. I value my colleagues, but what engineering does, what the medical school does in relationship to society cannot be left in the hands of engineers and doctors. And that's where the values education comes. There is a value to values education. The vision that the president has put forward is an understanding of the university simply as an institution to create people for the workforce.
Shankar is chair of the English department. He says, workforce training and supporting key disciplines is fine, but He contends that humanities provide values education, which is, he says, foundational. Kamal Dean, chair of linguistics, cites that it's what's called the UH Vision for a New Innovation Ecosystem. It's a long-range plan that came out in March this year as evidence that there is a shift away from humanities and values education going on.
The evidence that we have for that is that there was a long-term plan published by the university. And in that long-term plan, they describe the following disciplines as being the core of the university: the med school, Scheidler Business School, astronomy, and oceanography. Everything else was not even mentioned in that long-term plan. And there's been opposition to that for a very long time. But under the guise of this fiscal emergency, it can be pushed through. People within Hawaii, they don't know this, but the University of Hawaii has an absolutely stellar reputation around the world for its liberal arts education. But the upper administration is really interested in those disciplines that will raise external funds. We think you need to produce people that are well-educated, well-rounded, able to do critical thinking in order to have a really vibrant democracy. That's the goal of this university.
Professor Kamal Dean and Professor Shankar both support training for well-paying jobs, and they and many other scholars and students as well also say there's a social and economic cost to not doing more than that training for jobs. And they say that great universities have always been about more than workforce training. So, Catherine, does that sound like something we can care about right now?
Well, you know, I know I had heard talk that they were going to, you know, fold the Department of Architecture back into engineering where it was many moons ago, and there was a lot of back and forth on that, and I don't think that happened. But yeah, lots of angst and, you know, back and forth. But you know, I can certainly see, you know, where these department chairs are coming from.
Right. It's really something that we can ask ourselves as a community, because I mean, you know, the university really does direct our intellectual life here in a way, right? I mean, professors, assistant professors, associate professors, lecturers, departmental staff, all those grad assistants, lab assistants, all the facilities people, groundskeepers, the guards, that's about 10,000 employees. And there are 10 campuses across these islands, and they're really the hubs of communities. You know, what's kind of amazing too is that in fiscal 2020, the university attracted $456 million in outside funding from nonprofits, from industries, and the federal government. Now, the question they're going to be looking at is, can the university afford programs that do not attract big dollars? Some say no. Others say, if we don't have those programs, what are we building?
Yeah, now we have these stay-at-home orders, so... yeah, it's a challenge, you know, just to keep the system going, right?
Right, just to keep day to day. And as you pointed out early on, you know, UH did get a bit of an exemption from the stay-at-home order this time around. Experience gained, the workspaces have been adjusted, so the science labs, shops for career and technical education, the studios for arts and clinical training facilities are all open, and they've got protocols in place for everything, including when a positive case happens. I mean, it really looks like there's a commitment from all parties to preserve a vibrant university. And Regents Chair Kubo reminds us that there are some really hard decisions ahead.
Yeah, well, we hope we hear more from President David Lasner about this, and have to see how things go. But thanks so much, Noe.
Hey, thank you, Catherine. Thank you so much.
That was HPR's Noe Tanigawa with a snapshot at the University of Hawaii as it deals with this health and economic crisis.